lastly, we had one faculty member that we were requesting that tenure be delayed, given that there was a request to do so, and that she be extended another year due to medical reasons, and that was Dr. Kamisha Jackson Khan in CMAT.
I have no questions. We've had a chance to discuss it. Trustee Joy?
I just have a question. Are we operating under rules for tenure that were established in 2000? I'm just reading a little part of the resolution that says under the articles issued December 2000.
Yes, we are. Each time there is a new faculty contract, the department application criteria, which is the criteria that is used to make decisions for retention, promotion, and including tenure. Each time there's a new contract, those DAC, or the department application criteria, are revised at that point. So all of the recommendations that I've listed fall under the previous contract. We currently have a new contract that has been approved, so the new department application criteria will be approved under Dr. Watson, and that's currently being developed as we speak.
Madam Provost, would you just briefly summarize for Trustee Joyce what you and I talked about in terms of, or President, if you'd like to, just in terms of the rigor that you'd like to add in terms of the criteria around, if I had the same question, so I was so old. So just briefly, if you want to summarize, Trustee Joyce.
Provost, why don't you lead off and then I.
Okay, one of the things that we are, as a matter of fact, yesterday I sent a memo out reminding the department chairs as well as faculty that the DAC, or the revised DAC, drafts of DAC, are past due. An extension was made so that they will have an opportunity to submit these no later than Tuesday of next week, which is the 15th. Failure to do so will result in our understanding that they will, the DAC that are currently in place will remain a status quo. And what that does is it allows an opportunity for Dr. Watson to add language so that indeed it will satisfy the rigor that is needed. Some of the things for consideration include we will be looking closely at the level of research that is being done by our faculty, the grantsmanship that is being done, especially given the state is allocating fewer dollars to all public institutions. But also, we really want to take a good look at the level of engagement with our students. As you know, some units do a much better job than others, but we want all academic units to be on the same accord when we talk about that engagement. And that engagement should extend past just meeting with students during office hours. We would like that engagement to also include opportunities to engage our students in research. And, you know, given some of the new policies that are in place, a senior thesis or a senior research project, you know, having the faculty to be available to assist students as we move forward with those new policies.
And so we are primarily a teaching institution, but we also strongly encourage and support our faculty to do research. And when it comes to teaching, what we need to do is ensure that we do a thorough assessment and evaluation of someone's ability to teach their subject matter, their grasp of the subject matter, their pedagogy. Do they know how to communicate and get and use different strategies to get the subject matter across to the student? And thirdly, engagement. are they willing to engage the student in class and after class, okay? We must have faculty who have those three components when it comes to teaching, okay? Subject matter, pedagogy, and engagement. So we need, and it's not just one out of four classes that they teach. We need to look at all of their classes, all right? So that's one. That currently is not done at that level. Two, in terms of research, research is important. We support it. But what we really support is research that involves our students. We have some departments where 60% of the students in the department are involved in research with their faculty. That is excellent, okay? And so we want research, we want to support it. Publications, we have, regrettably, situations where individuals have been given tenure with one publication. Usually it is three at a minimum. And we're going to look very close at publications and the level of publication that it was. And then service. How do you interact with your university? You know, do you believe in a mission? Do you embrace the mission of the university? One example, we had to go in one faculty member's classroom because the faculty member was actually fearful of the students. You can't teach students if you fear them. Students will pick that up and they will run the classroom. So you must ensure that you have faculty who do not fear their students. Now, I'm talking about those are the faculty, those are the kind of things we're looking for. Now, let me say, overall, we have a significant number of faculty who are doing an excellent job of teaching, doing an excellent job of research and publication and engaging the students, okay? But with regards to the question you put forward, or you asked, anybody who we hire going forward, these are some of the qualities that we want to have, that we want to start looking at.
Thanks, Mr. President. Any other questions? Is there a motion to approve these resolutions?
So moved.
Second?
Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
Okay, the second resolution is a resolution for your approval for Professor Emeritus status. This is a very significant status that faculty wish to hold. It's one that's very prestigious and it distinguishes them from other faculty. The individual that is being recommended for consideration is Dr. Lisa Pesavento. Dr. Pesavento, she is a full professor. She's retired, full professor from physical education. She's been very active in the community. She continues to participate in health and wellness initiatives within the community. She has published over 30 articles, and her teaching is absolutely superior. She comes highly recommended, not only by the department chair, dean, and I have personally worked with her in my former position as dean of education. She was my associate dean. So she's being recommended for that prestigious status.
Any questions from the board? Is there a motion to approve this resolution?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second. Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
And Trustee Young?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thanks, Madam Provost. Dr. Sharp?
We're going to give Dr. Roundtree and I, the co-chairs of the Strategic Planning Committee, we're going to give our final report on the planning process of this for the strategic plan. You may remember that in December, we approved the skeletal, the goals and objectives for the strategic plan. And there were some concerns that were brought up, some by the Board of Trustees, as well as we had to take the plan, we had to present the plan to the community for feedback, as well as to get measures for the objectives. So all three of those were accomplished. Two of the things that were added to the strategic plan were under goal 5, infrastructure. We added an objective for the West Side campus. So now that's a specific objective that addresses the development of the West Side campus and all that that entails. Under objective 3 of goal 5, we added safety. We had indicators that looked at safety on the campus, but it wasn't stated in the objective, so we added that to the wording of the objective. The plan was rolled out to the community by email, by internet, and we had a lot of feedback on the plan. Based on all of the feedback from administrators, faculty, staff, students, community members, alumni, we had an overall approval rating on the strategic plan of about 88% positive response on the strategic plan. The next step in this process is now implementation, and that will be handled by Dr. Napoleon Moses, who will assemble his implementation team.
You just recapped the revisions you made that were at the recommendation of the board.
Yes.
I know we made a handful, so I'm hoping you can summarize.
There were really just, there were two major ones, and one was Trustee Young had brought up that he didn't see anything about the West Side campus
right.
in the plan.
You addressed that one.
And we addressed that by adding it as a specific objective mm-hmm. under the infrastructure goal.
That's satisfactory.
Okay. The other issues that were addressed by the board were the measures. We needed to get measures for some of the objectives and under the strategic plan, and we now have those and incorporated those into the strategic plan.
Great. Any questions? It's great. It's a good plan. So we thought that the core was a good plan anyway. With these revisions, it's excellent.
In the implementation period, I think it's 3 years. Is that right?
It's 3 to 5 years. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Dr. Musial.
Okay, it's still morning, so good morning. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to address you this morning. I am Paul Musial, and together with Dr. Gemulgeta, we are co-chairs of the HLC Steering Committee. And it's crunch time. We are going to have our visit November 12th, 13th, 14th, and we have taken the bold but absolutely essential step of making our drafts available to the university community via Career Connect. They're in Career Connect because that's password protected. The only people who have access to it are people in the university community. Now, we definitely want to make it available to you, so Bonnie will work with you to make sure that you have the access that you need. There are 5 PDF files. They're pretty lengthy at this time. They're 50 to 70 pages each, and so I think it was difficult to email them. But as with the mission, vision, and core values, we strongly, strongly value your input, and we will listen. The self-study is really an eye-opener. When we had student and faculty forums, I mean, people were like, wow. They really were, because the self-study is full of basically 10 years of accomplishments. And it's also very honest. There are some challenges that are described in this self-study. So I would very much encourage you to spend some time with it. You're going to learn a lot about, I sure did, learn a lot about the university. And please give us your feedback by sending to hlc@csu.edu. Martha, you haven't done your presentation yet, right? You're going to do it? You're going to do it? They are going to show you the way that we are going to advertise, promote, and market the HLC process to the university community. As you might imagine, the toughest constituency to get hold of is students. And so we're just going to plaster the university with stuff, and they'll explain. It's really cool. Now, in the agenda, it does say that I'm to talk about consultants' review of self-study. Let me explain what happened. I think with Dr. Mulugeta, who spoke to you last time, I unfortunately was up with the consultants. They were here on that day, and I was just making sure that they were set. But they came back. This is Susan Hatfield and Susan Murphy. Between the two of them, have a wealth of experience with HLC, many, many years of serving on teams and working with institutions on assessment. And for the first two visits in February and early March, that's what they concentrated on, was getting us to the point where our student learning outcomes were tight and they're going to pass HLC muster. And they positioned us well there. But then they came back in late March, and particularly on the 23rd, the steering committee met with them for the entire day. And they concentrated on criteria three and four. Three is teaching and learning, and four is acquisition, discovery of knowledge. And we just had a back and forth. They gave us basically handwritten notes, but they were telling us again and again where we need to tighten things, what the HLC is looking for. And I can tell you that the steering committee found these inputs to be extremely, extremely valuable. And so you'll see now the results of those meetings when you read the self-study. So that's really all I have. I don't feel the need, if I give you those handwritten notes, I don't think there's any reason for you, because the good stuff has been incorporated into the report. We didn't have to agree to everything that they said. They're not the last word. But what really resonated with us, we put in. So our timeline, real briefly, our timeline is we really want to finish up this month to get a full edit of the entire document. We've hired an editor, we've hired a layout person, and a prototype person to make it look real pretty. And then by July 1st, we're going to turn it over to Graphic Services, and they're just going to have at it to produce a beautiful document. We'll, of course, continue to work throughout the summer to make sure it's exactly what we want. And there are going to be some bits of data that are going to be dropped in. For instance, we just got something the other day, the results of the student satisfaction inventory. I mean, there's going to be some surveys that we put out that are being processed. But for the most part, it's now to the point where we need this input so we can whittle it down to some extent. A lot of stuff that we put in the report really needs to kind of be in the appendix so that it be a tight, concise document, easy to read. There's going to be pictures. There's going to be nice little drop-ins that really tell the CSU story. Kind of like the did you know type of stuff that really allows the reader to say, wow, what I heard about CSU, man, that's not true, because there's so many things here in self-study that say otherwise. That's all I have to say.
It's great. I know you've been working very hard.
Thank you. We've got a head start, so that's why we appreciate it.
Great. Any questions?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your work.
Thank you. Appreciate your support.
Vice President Henderson.
Thank you. For the record, Angela Henderson, Vice President of Enrollment Management and Student Affairs. Briefly, we have three updates. We wanted to just share with you some of the collateral from the We Live It campaign. We won't do the entire one, but you have in your packet just examples of some of the things that we will be doing across the campus over the next year to share with the campus and remind everybody that we live our mission, our values, and our mission, our vision, and our core values every day, and all the things that we do. I'll turn it over to Ms. Brina Land, Director of Marketing, and Ms. Vicky Gusso, Assistant Director of Marketing, and they will take a minute to share with you some additional information about the campaign. Also, when I met with Trustee Rozier, we talked about some and Vice Chairwoman Z. Scott, we talked about some ideas around, we talked about some of the ideas around the We Live It campaign and how we can make Chicago State be more prominent on some of the things that we, on all of the things that we distribute around the campus as well as externally. So this presentation doesn't reflect our new mock-up, but we have taken that into account. And we are still open from the trustees as well as the CSU community for ideas for this campaign. Okay.
Good morning. Trustees and chairman and vice chairman. My name is Sabrina Land, Director of Marketing and Communications. And today we would like to share with you the new campus campaign in support of CSU's reaccreditation visit. As VP Henderson mentioned at your table, you have a packet to go along with us as well as following the presentation. Just some background, as you know, Chicago State will be up for recreditation in November. There will be an HLC team here visiting, evaluating us, interviewing students, faculty, and staff. With that, there will be some impromptu and also scheduled interviews with the students, faculty, and staff. For that reason, we feel that the campus community must be prepared to answer questions about the university and feel vested in the accreditation process. The campaign developed is in support of the visit, but also to heighten awareness of our CSU mission, but also our core values. The campaign should then therefore engage students, faculty, and staff in learning more about the significance of the university mission and the process of accreditation, but also improve morale of our campus community. Our target audience is primarily our student body, but also faculty and staff, and secondly, yourselves as well as legislators in our surrounding communities. The objectives of the campaign will allow us to develop incentives and premiums to promote the CSU mission, which is our mission-driven accreditation, educate and remind everyone why we all work here, as well as remind everyone the meaning of the CSU mission via events that we have coming up on campus now through November, as well as fostering pride to personify the core values and sharing success stories of the campus community. The campaign theme was inspired by an organic conversation we were having during the HLC steering committee meeting about our mission and core values. The theme, We Live It, is appropriate for the campus community and CSU brand because it reinforces the academic purpose of our student body, but also the meaning and significance of our mission.